Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our social issue today, and we're going to be talking about something called a boycott. Boycott for change. That's our subject for today. What exactly is a boycott, Stephanie?
Well, actually, our article defines it. If you've read through the article, maybe you haven't read through it yet, those who are listening, but it's when you refuse to buy something or use something or maybe even go to something or participate in something if you disagree with what that company or person is doing. It's a way to say, hey, I'm not happy. I'm protesting you by not using your product or going to this event just to show you I'm angry.
Indeed. And also note, everybody, the word boycott can be used as a verb and a noun.
Yeah.
In the title of today's lesson, it is being used as a verb. You want to boycott something for change if a company or the government is doing something you don't like, so you're not going to use their products or services as a form of protest or punishment.
Oh.
So let's get to it, everybody. Let's read through today's lesson and find out what this all is about. Yeah, why would somebody want to boycott something? It's kind of strange. Isn't everything okay? Let's read right now. Unit 13. Boycott for Change. April 21st. Wei Yingchun, the former chairman of food company Ding Xin, was found not guilty of breaches of food safety laws in a controversial ruling last November. This came as a huge disappointment to the public, who wanted to see the company punished for its part in the 2013 to 2014 cooking oil scandal. The anti-Ding Xin campaign got underway when the scandal first broke. The not guilty verdict led to renewed calls to boycott the company's products, and the cause drew favorable responses from individuals and organizations alike. National Taiwan University has boycotted Ding Xin products at its campus store since October 2014, and it has announced the boycott will be indefinite. A boycott is an act of refusing to buy, use, or participate in something as a way of protesting. The word boycott was first used during the Irish Land War in the late 19th century. At the time, there were disputes between the tenants and their landlords over lowering the rents. One land agent, Charles Boycott, attempted to evict some tenants from their landowner's land after a negotiation between the two sides broke down. People then decided to shun Boycott by refusing to work for him, trade with him, and even deliver his mail. News of the first boycott spread quickly, and the press began using boycott as a verb almost instantly. Although the term wasn't coined until 1880, the practice of boycotting dates back to at least the 1790s, when abolitionists in Britain advocated boycotting slave-produced sugar. One of the most prominent boycotts in recent history was perhaps the Montgomery bus boycott during the civil rights movement in America. The campaign aimed to demonstrate against laws of racial segregation and successfully made the U.S. Supreme Court declare such laws unconstitutional.
Okay, guys, let's dive right in. This is a two-day unit. We're going to talk about a situation that most people in Taiwan are very familiar with. That's when a guy named Wei Yingchun, he is the former chairman of the food company called Ding Xin. He was found not guilty of breaches of food safety laws in a very controversial ruling last November. I was surprised when I heard this news.
I was not really surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so many of the people I know, the public in general, they were very angry about what happened with that cooking oil. We already kind of went over what boycott means, so let's move on. Wei Yingchun, he's the former chairman. If you're a former anything, it means that's a particular position you used to hold, but you no longer have it. So he's no longer the chairman.
But in any case here, yes, he was found not guilty of breaches of food safety laws. Now, if a court is trying a certain case, they need to come to some kind of decision. So that's what they asked the jury. Have you come to a verdict? Yes, we find the defendant guilty. We find the defendant not guilty. So here, find is the verb you use and found is the past tense. He was found not guilty of breaches of food safety laws. In other words, he's not guilty. He's not going to have to go to jail. And yes, the decision a court can make is either not guilty or guilty. And he was found not guilty of breaches of food safety laws. A breach basically is when you break some kind of contract or a code or an agreement. You fail to observe it. For example, we have breach of contract, for example. If you have a contract with a company that says you're not supposed to work overtime or you're not supposed to work for a rival company, and then you do that, then you are guilty of breach of contract.
Yeah, not breach of the contract. It's right. An interesting phrase. We just say breach of contract. Also, that question the judge usually asks them is, have you reached a verdict? And the verdict is that decision. And they said, yes, we have. We find him not guilty, which is pretty shocking to people here in Taiwan. We're calling the ruling, that particular verdict is the ruling. We're calling it controversial. If something's controversial, that's an adjective. It means there are a lot of different opinions about this. Usually there are a lot of strong opinions about this, and you can hear people debating it or arguing about it. So it was a controversial ruling that happened last November. It says it came as a huge disappointment to the public. That was my feeling. I thought, wow, after all that we learned about how bad this particular company was and how they tried to be so dishonest, they got away with it? Wow. Now, if you're disappointed, that's the adjective form. It means you have this feeling of sadness or even anger or displeasure that comes over you because someone did something that you felt, you know, hurt somebody else, or maybe you felt let down. It didn't happen the way you thought it was supposed to or would happen. So if you disappoint someone, you make them feel sad or let down or even a little angry that you didn't do what you were supposed to do. And I feel like the public in general was very disappointed, or they had a huge feeling of disappointment when they heard this ruling.
Yeah, that was my feeling, disappointment, not shock. I wasn't surprised. Justice sometimes just seems to not be served in a lot of cases and in a lot of countries.
So justice.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people felt a sense of injustice here. Hey, they should have been punished for what they did. Now they're going to get off scot-free.
They must know somebody important.
Yeah, I thought that, okay, who got paid off, or, you know, what did the judge do? I don't dare say too much here of my opinion here, or somebody might come over here and, you know, cut my throat, so I got to be careful there. But in any case, it was a disappointment to the public. They wanted to see the company punished for its part or its role in the 2013 to 2014 cooking oil scandal. This was a scandal, of course. There are scandals in the government all the time. In the U.S. government, they have scandals all the time,
true,
too. Basically, it's when somebody does something morally or legally wrong, usually involving public officials. It could be somebody in a company or something. In this particular case, though, yeah, they weren't supposed to be doing this. They were putting bad oil in there, and they got away with it. It was a scandal.
We also use scandal to talk about things people do that are immoral, like having an affair. If you work with somebody and you hear somebody else is, you know, having an affair with a married person, it's kind of a scandal. Well, this particular scandal was pretty big. Now, the you can say both, the anti-Ding Xin campaign got underway when the scandal first broke. We talk about news breaking, which means the news first comes out. So the news broke, the scandal first broke when you first heard about it. Now, a campaign is usually a series of actions and things people do. Maybe they're running for public office. They start a campaign, which means they'll talk to voters, they'll run ads. Those are a series of different activities they do to achieve a particular purpose or goal. Here, they're anti-Ding Xin campaign was to let the public know they need to know the facts about the scandal. They need to start thinking about not supporting this company any further by buying their products. We're going to talk about boycotting in a minute. Well, that campaign got underway. To get underway means to get started. Let's get this meeting underway, which means let's start our meeting.
Let's begin this meeting. So, yes, this campaign began when the scandal first broke, when people first knew about this cooking oil scandal, I should say.
Yeah.
And the not guilty verdict led to many renewed calls to boycott the company's products. Hey, there's our feature word today, boycott. Ding, ding, ding. That's our featured word. And a verdict, of course, is the decision of a judge or a court or of a jury, the verdict. What's your verdict? Guilty or not guilty? And these were renewed calls. Renewed means they basically said, let's do it again. You want to renew a book you checked out from the library if you like it and you want to keep on reading it. So you're going to renew it, or you might renew your subscription to a magazine or something like that. Renew your membership, etc., in a certain club or something. And they're going to boycott the company's products. And this cause, this series of activities, drew favorable responses from individuals and organizations alike. And if something's favorable, that means it's positive. People kind of express approval.
Now, the National Taiwan University, that's the number one university here.
NTU.
Yeah. It has boycotted Ding Xin products at its campus store since October 2014. Wow, they've been very diligent, you could say, about boycotting this particular company. And it has announced, we're talking about the university, the boycott will be indefinite.
Ooh.
When you see this word indefinite, it means there is no particular time period that they're talking about. It could go on for years. It could last until next month. It's indefinite. We don't know what the time period is going to be like. So we'll see how long that goes on. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest， 我是 Sunny。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 13 Boycott for Change 第一天的课程。文章的第一段以台湾的食安丑闻鼎新事件作为 introduction， 说明鼎新一案的判决结果，并说明大众对此判决的不满，以及接下来对于鼎新产品所采取的抵制行动。我们看到文章开头提到鼎新的前董事长魏应冲被判没有违反食品安全法。He was found not guilty of breaches of food safety laws. 这里的动词 found 是 find 的过去式，意思是判定、裁决。Find somebody guilty of 假名词或动名词，就是指判决某人犯了某罪。例如The court found the two foreigners guilty of entering the country illegally. 法院判定这两名外国人非法入境。这里的形容词 guilty 当然就是有罪的意思。Be guilty of 加名词或 ving 就是指犯了某种罪行。Guilty 还有另外一个意思是内疚的。Be guilty about 加上名词或 ving。就是指对什么感到内疚，例如 Joe felt really guilty about forgetting his girlfriend's birthday. 乔对于忘记他女朋友的生日感到很内疚。我们接着看到第一段第二句的后半部分。Who wanted to see the company punished? 想要看到鼎新受惩罚的大众。这里的 punished 是过去分词，受到感官动词 see 的影响。常见的感官动词有 see, look at, watch, hear, listen to, feel, notice 和 observe 等等。它的句型是感官动词加上受词再加上原形动词 ving 或是 vpp。当受词和动词的关系是主动语态的时候，动词变化就用 ving 或是原形动词。当受词和动词的关系是被动语态的时候，动词就要变化成 VPP。 例如 In my leisure time, I enjoy watching clouds floating in the sky. 我在休闲时喜欢看着白云在天上飘。白云飘是主动语态，所以动词用 floating。 而在课文例句中，民众是希望看到顶新被处罚，是被动的语态，所以动词用过去分词 punished。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, the time has come for us to resume our lesson for today. Boycott for Change. This is all about the Ding Xin scandal, but actually that's just an example. The actual subject of our lesson for today is boycotting in general. So here's the definition of what a boycott is, or what to boycott means. It's both a noun and a verb. A boycott is an act of refusing to buy, use, or participate in something as a way of protesting. So if you don't like a certain coffee company's labor practices, say in South America or something, then you will boycott their products. You won't use them so that the company will change those practices or something like that. So that's what a boycott is. And again, it's a verb and a noun. Here it's being used as a noun.
It sure is. Well, it's interesting to learn where this word comes from, because I didn't know where its history or where it originated from until I saw this. This is great. So the word boycott was first used during the Irish Land War. If you're Irish, you're from the country of Ireland. So it was first used during their land war that happened back in the late 19th century. The late 19th century is probably 1870 to 1900. Now, at
somewhere
that time, it says there were disputes between the tenants and the landlords over lowering the rents. I think we've always had problems with high rents and low rents. And, of course, if you're a tenant, you're someone who rents an apartment or a house from the owner. The owner is called the landlord. And we'd always like to have lower rent, wouldn't we?
Sure, but the landlords, of course, want higher rent.
Of course.
If you're the owner of a property, of course, you want to charge as much as you can to make maximum profit here. And you mentioned the word tenant as somebody who lives in an apartment, but it could also be somebody who works on a farm, like a tenant farmer, for example, and it may have been a dispute here, but in any case here, it does talk about the landowner's land, so maybe it was talking about farmers here. We're not quite sure here.
And nowadays, most people own the land they farm, but Tom's right. Long ago, you had to be very, very wealthy or even royalty to own land. That's changed a lot. Now, what's a dispute, Tom?
Just some kind of a disagreement between someone.
An argument. A fight.
There you go. Or a debate. So in this case, there's a territorial dispute, for example, between Japan and Russia about some islands there. I don't want to mention the territorial dispute closer to home here, though. That's pretty controversial. I don't want to get in trouble.
Yes, it is.
But there are some islands that Japan claims and Russia claims. So there's a land dispute between them still going on. And in any case here, there were some disputes or arguments or disagreements between tenants and landlords, of course, who are the owners of the land. If it happens to be a woman, then it's a landlady. And one land agent by the name of Charles Boycott attempted to evict some tenants from their landowner's land after negotiation between the two sides broke down. So this is an agent, somebody who's kind of representing somebody, like a travel agent, a secret agent, if you're a spy. But in this case, it was a land agent by the name of Charles Boycott. He wanted to get rid of some tenants. You guys haven't paid your rent. Get out of here. You're going to be evicted. That means you're kicked out of your apartment or kicked off the land that you are farming if you're not the owner.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of a terrible moment for tenants when they receive a notice of eviction, which somebody can, well, it has to be the landlord. He puts this notice on your door and says, get out of here. I don't want you renting my apartment anymore because, of many different reasons. Maybe they're too noisy, or they broke some sort of agreement in their contract. Maybe they haven't paid their rent for a while. So they can evict you if you have issues. You can also take these landlords to court and fight them. Well, back then it was kind of tough fighting these very wealthy landowners. So he tried to evict some tenants from their landowner's land after a negotiation between the two sides broke down. If a negotiation breaks down, it means the two sides can no longer talk with each other. Maybe they start yelling and fighting, and it's just hard to get anything done. A negotiation is when two different sides, maybe even more, come together and one side agrees to allow the other side to do something, and, you know, it's a little give and take. You do this, and I'll do this. Well, the negotiation broke down, so they were no longer even able to meet and talk. They were so angry.
They could not compromise. They could not meet halfway. For example, negotiations between Israel and Palestine always break down, and people then decided to shun Boycott by refusing to work for him. To shun just means to ignore somebody. They did not want to work for him. They did not want to trade with him, and they didn't even want to deliver his mail. Now, that hurts. Not getting my monthly letters for my friends living overseas, that would really hurt. And news of the first boycott spread quickly. Notice here, we've got the word boycott quoted because this is when the word first started being used. And word spread quickly, or news spread quickly. People found out about it. And the press, or, you know, newspapers and magazines and stuff, they began using boycott as a verb almost instantly. I think back then they didn't have radio or TV. They just only had newspapers and magazines.
Yeah, in today's world, you'll often still hear the press, which just means the media, because now we have other forms to broadcast the news. Now, although the term wasn't coined or accepted as an official term until 1880, the practice of boycotting dates back to at least the 1790s. They were doing this back a long time ago. That would be the 18th century there, when abolitionists in Britain advocated boycotting slave-produced sugar. If you're an abolitionist, you are against the act of slavery, which means buying people and owning them and not paying them a wage when they work for you. It's horrible. So these abolitionists advocated boycotting slave-produced sugar. Slaves who worked on the land and would harvest sugar, they didn't want this to continue happening. If you advocate for something, guys, you support it, and you go out publicly and say, this is something that I think is good, we should think about it, we should pass it if it's a law or if it's a social movement, they are strongly behind it.
Okay, so that's when that was an early example of boycotting.
Yeah.
They didn't want to use that sugar if it was produced from the hands of slaves. And one of the most prominent boycotts in recent history was perhaps the Montgomery bus boycott during the civil rights movement in America. And that, of course, involved Rosa Parks, who refused to give up her seat on that bus in Montgomery, Alabama. University of Alabama actually won the national championship this year in American college football, by the way. But in any case here, that's the a good example of a recent boycott. And then, what's his name, Martin Luther King Jr. got involved and said they're going to boycott the buses in Montgomery. They're not going to ride them anymore because of what happened to Rosa Parks.
Yeah, we're talking about the civil rights movement in America. Your civil rights include some of those rights that every person alive should have. They're just natural rights, you know, to express your opinion, to vote, to be treated fairly. They were boycotting during the civil rights movement back in America. Oh, in America back then. Now, the campaign aimed to demonstrate or show, this is where demonstrate just means you're showing something, against laws of racial segregation. Racial segregation is when races are segregated or divided or separated. For example, the black community couldn't go to the same schools as the white community, you know, and they wouldn't let the African Americans drink from certain drinking fountains. Those were for whites only. It was pretty awful. So they wanted to demonstrate against these laws that said it was legal to treat people this way and successfully made the U.S. Supreme Court declare such laws unconstitutional.
Yes, the U.S. Supreme Court, that's the biggest court in the U.S., and they said that these segregation laws were unconstitutional. They were against the Constitution. You've got a constitution here in Taiwan as well, so your Supreme Court can make a similar decision. And we're going to continue talking about boycotting in our next lesson. Please stay tuned until then. But for now, we need to listen to our Chinese teacher one more time.
文章第二段承接第一段提到的台大抵制活动，接着说明什么是 boycott 以及这个字的由来。 boycott 抵制就是指以拒绝购买、使用和参与作为抗议方式的行为，而这个字来自于一个人的名字 Charles Boycott， 他是一位土地中介人，那时候因为佃农和地主起了争执，协商失败， Charles Boycott就趁机把佃农从土地上驱逐，人们知道这件事以后，就拒绝和他交易，为他工作，也不再和他有任何往来。我们看到第二段的第三句 At the time, there were disputes between the tenants and their landlords over lowering the rents. 在当时，佃户和地主之间在降低租金上有争执。我们看到这里一个名词 dispute， 意思是争论纠纷，如果我们要表示和某人在某事上争论或争吵，我们可以说 have a dispute 或是 argument 或是 quarrel with somebody over something。 要注意这里讲争论某事物，介系词是用 over， 例如 Susan tends to have quarrels with others over trivial matters quite often。 苏珊常常为了小事和其他人争吵。我们接着看到文章的最后一段，在这里作者列举历史上一些有名的抵制活动，一来能让读者更深入了解抵制活动的内容，二来也间接提及到抵制活动的正当性以及正面意义。我们看到第一句，这里说到 The practice of boycotting dates back to at least the 1790s， 抵制的实践可至少追溯到西元1790年代。 date在这里是当动词，片语 date back to 是指追溯至某个时间点，相当于 go back to 或是 be traced back to。 要注意的是 date back to 和 go back to 要用主动语态，而 be traced back to 则是用被动语态。例如 the origin of this tradition dates back to 或是can be traced back to ancient Rome， 这个传统的起源可以追溯至古罗马时期。接着我们看到文章的最后一句，有一个动词片语 demonstrate against。 demonstrate 的意思是示威， demonstrate against 就是指示威抗议某件事。例如 The people demonstrated against the government's new tax policy，人民示威抗议政府的新税政策。 demonstrate 还有展示、示范的意思，就相当于 show 或是 display， D-I-S-P-L-A-Y。 例如 The salesman is demonstrating a new 3D printer to customers， 这位销售员正在向顾客展示一台新的 3D 列印机。此外 demonstrate 还有显示、证明的意思，后面常接 that 名词子句，相当于 prove， P-R-O-V-E。 例如 The statistics demonstrate that most customers prefer smartphones to traditional ones， 统计数字显示大部分的顾客偏好智慧型手机胜过传统手机。以上就是今天的课程讲解，谢谢大家。
Well, thanks for joining us, guys. We have one more day to talk about boycotting and how boycotting can sometimes lead to great change. It's a powerful tool if a company feels like the consumers have stopped buying their products. It's going to put them out of business quickly. But let's see what we can learn about this in our next program. We hope you'll join us. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.